You know, yesterday you were in TAMS, a rally yesterday at the prison?
We
the
were.
The former prison, the what's left of the prison, whatever the term is, the abandoned prison.
Well, there's a structure there that they're spending almost $1 million a year to protect, and they're using non-union Missouri workers to do it. So if you can imagine, we were not very happy.
So yesterday, because Marcia Griffin had recently talked about reopened TAMS.
Yeah, she, matter of fact, she put together this rally so we could at least talk about the issues there. And because there's a proposed prison to be opened in Joliet, when we've got a great prison structure already there in TAMS, we've got the facilities, we've got it in a place that needs jobs desperately, and still yet the state would rather put it up north.
I'm sorry, but in Joliet, they used to have the roundhouse there. My brother, as a prison guard, had worked there for a period of time. Is that gone?
I don't know if that's gone or not. And frankly, at this point, we've got we are 22nd in the nation in terms of people incarcerated in our prisons. So it's not like we're terribly that we've got so many people in there that we have to build more prisons. The thing of it is we've cut our correctional officers drastically. There's over 1,300 staff assaults a year. 1,300. And you know what we do now? Because we don't have a supermax prison to hold over their head, what we do now is we write them a ticket, and then we see them tomorrow. And that's a travesty, and that makes it dangerous for our correctional officers. And I've got a son that's a correctional officer, and I pray every day that he is safe when he goes to work.
And, of course, what Steve's referencing here is at one point, TAMS was held over your head. You do that, you assault an officer, you go to TAMS, you won't like TAMS.
Absolutely. I mean, the federal prison system has a supermax in Colorado. And that is specifically there for the people that assault staff in prisons. Specifically there. You know, what do you do whenever you have somebody that assaults you and then you see him tomorrow morning at breakfast?
What happens next? You've been also working on another program, ballistic shields for schools.
Yeah, well, as a law enforcement officer, and I began the Safe School Systems several years ago, so I can get the word out to schools that there are some common sense things that we ought to be doing right now. Common sense things we ought to be doing right now, and I've worked on some bills for the state on SRO training. The ballistic shields is just yet another tool that law enforcement can use, and the thing about it is many law enforcement departments can't afford to have this type of equipment. So we're trying to work on a program where we can put them in schools, specifically at the entrances. So if an SRO or any other law enforcement officer, see, we teach now that if you're first on scene, you're first in the scene. There's no more stationing. There's no more waiting. You go in and you mitigate the situation. These ballistic shields can be sitting there waiting on you. When you get there, you'll know that we've got it. You can use it to mitigate that target.
An on-site resource for each school.
Absolutely.
When it comes to the state of Illinois, we have a lot of hot button issues, whether it's taxes, whether it's sanctuary city status, whether it's gun control. You know, there's literally an environment in Illinois where if you look around you, there's some place to make headway. But we don't seem to be able to do it. A type of political paralysis. I know there were some 600 laws that were passed this year, and when you look at them, I'm just thinking, do we really need this? Is this a lack of priority? Everybody trying to get somebody's attention when we still don't tackle the big issues.
That's because we're all sitting around wondering if we can get elected next time, and so we do the feel-good bills, and we do whatever we can to say, hey, here's how I'm working for you. Here's how I voted against school funding in the past, but that's in the past. I've decided to vote for it now, and that's what my opponent has done. We're over $60 million they owe our children in the 59th district, over $60 million. And to tackle that would have been some tough votes because we were going to have to reallocate money from the north and send it south. And we just didn't have the political will to do it, and now we're suffering.
Political will or the political votes?
Well, the same thing. The will was to get reelected. So they wanted the votes. So here we are in a situation where if we had term limits where everybody can understand you're going to do your one or two terms and then you're done, maybe we can finally get some of those tough votes and fix some of our issues in Illinois.
So you think would you sign on to this People's Pledge when it comes to term limits?
Absolutely. I am ready for term limits. I didn't want to go back up to Springfield. I feel like we need somebody up there that didn't want to be there, that's got to go up and fight for our kids and fight for our working families. That's why I'm in this room with you today.
Mike, last time, since the last time you and I spoke, I've did a couple of series interviews on how much money goes from property taxes to pensions. Did you get a chance to hear any of them by chance?
No, but I'm very familiar with our pension issue.
98 cents and 99 cents in some municipalities going from property taxes just to pay for pensions. So really what we're talking about is two issues. The pension problem, which is the elephant in the room, which is actually really an elephant with a weight problem. And then you also at the same time are talking about taxes, property taxes in particular. So when it comes to this issue, we've clearly got to do something. I mean, nobody came out and said that story's not true. They just like, oh, and I've got several letters from people going, this is how what I did, and this is how much I get back, and even I'm uncomfortable with it.
Property taxes is the most regressive tax out there, period. Property taxes is the most regressive because it doesn't matter what your income is. If you've got the property, you have to pay. So we have people losing their farms. They can't have their family farms anymore. They're having to sell their houses and go into apartments. This has got to end on the property tax side. And whenever we had a referendum a few years back where the vast majority, over 70%, which you can hardly ever get, wanted this millionaire's tax, and we haven't done it yet. That's got to be taking place because that is a progressive tax on everybody that makes an income, not just on your property. So there's got to be some kind of shift in the way we do that to get away from property taxes, and I don't have the answer to that, and I won't pretend to promise that I can come up with the answer in the next 10 minutes.
I think the premise was that there really is no answer until something dramatic is done. People, if somebody comes to your door and knocks and says, I'm running for XX office and I'm going to reduce your property taxes, no, they're not, because they can't.
That's right. They can't right now, but if they can figure it out where there can be a shift, then that needs to take place. But I don't think they've got the political will to make that happen, because there's a lot of places that do not want to lose their property tax because they're very wealthy because of it.
Well, and the other people who say, you know, and I've talked to county commissioners, including those in Williamson County, saying, we can't. We keep getting mandates from Springfield. We have to.
Unfunded mandates
that we have to be able to deal with them, and this is our source.
There are schools that are paying over $25,000 per child, spending over $25,000 per child, and our average in the 59th district is around $9,000. In what society is that appropriate? Well, it's because of their property wealth. And you know what they tell me whenever I tell them that is wrong, that we need to shift that and make sure all schools have a quality education?
No, but I'm curious.
They say move. Move. We have houses for sale. Move your family up here. Then you can have those three pools. You can have those nice auditoriums. Well, I live in Tunnel Hill on my family farm. We're not moving anywhere. But what I am going to do is I'm going to move to Springfield in parts of the year, and I'm going to bring back some of that money to Southern Illinois.
Steve Webb, he is joining us this morning, candidate, Democratic Party, 59th Senate District. As is often the case when you come into an election, your responsibility on the campaign trail is to differentiate yourself from your opponent. Where are the strongest areas of differentiation? Because you're both looking at the same issues with your own solutions, unique to you, but how do you think is the best way to differentiate yourself from your opponent?
Well, in 2017, he voted not once but twice against the school funding bill. We had lost over $60 million since 2011. And they wouldn't take care of the budget or the pension crisis. They didn't take care of the debt. They just tried to get back home so they could get elected. Now, since then, he's decided he is for education, and he's floated a couple of education bills. So, if nothing else, I've got him moving on some education things. But to vote against that funding after our kids have suffered for 7 years, that's embarrassing, and I couldn't let that happen anymore. So the biggest difference was he likes being there. He likes to figure out how he can get back there. I want to go up there and bring back money to our kids and to our working families in Southern Illinois.
Steve Webb, who just this morning vowed to sign the People's Pledge.
We need term limits, badly.
Right. Two terms for somebody in the Senate. How many for a leadership, you think?
Well, that's a terrible question to ask right now because we've got terrible leadership at this point. So I'm saying that two terms shouldn't be any more for anybody else. That two terms should be great for both of those.
You know, it's interesting because I think you get some at least elbow room when it comes to Senate, because I'm wondering how much of the election this year, and this includes all the way up to the gubernatorial, is a referendum on Madigan. right? You don't get a chance to vote for Speaker of the House, right? You're in the Senate.
Right.
But I wonder how much of that, because you look at the Rauner things and you hear the tapes and, you know, he's Madigan's man and all this. And I'm wondering how much of this is about Madigan this year because of the very idea we're talking about term limits and the period of time that he's been there.
Well, we see him on every commercial for every Democrat running. They haven't ran any commercials against me yet, but I'm sure that's coming as well. Because during his leadership, I mean, that's 30 years of stealing money from our pensions that has got us into this position. And he was a leader during that time. But, you know, I'm sure he's done some great things. He helped fight right to work, which was something that would have devastated Southern Illinois families. So there's things that he did that were great, but it's too long for one person to be in that seat.
What did you think about the Time magazine series on teachers? You seen this?
Not recently.
You know, I have been in a profession for 16 years. I spend my money to be able to have school supplies, and I'm a teacher, and, you know, I make less than, I mean, it was a whole series done that exemplified teachers, which I figure, you know, at this point, you and I both know somebody who literally kicks in out of their own pocket to be able to buy school supplies, you know, for their students.
Certainly.
They don't make much money. And a great deal less in Southern Illinois than they do when you talk about the best paid teachers in the United States in Chicago.
That's right. I mean, there's places that start their teachers out at $70,000 per year. And that's where many of our teachers end their career.
And, if they're lucky.
If they're lucky. And the average to come out of a college or university with a four-year degree, the average is around $50,000 is what you pay for that four-year degree. Well, not in teaching. We start them out, some schools, at $29,000. That's embarrassing.
Any wonder that we have a teacher shortage?
Well, there's a lot of reasons why we have a teacher shortage, and that unfunded mandate and those over-legislating rules on becoming a teacher is one of the reasons as well.